Oh, good morning, Roo. Day after the cup. You haven't got a loan for me, have you?
No, I need a loan.
Oh, gee whiz. I had everything but down to clear. Every trifecta, every first four, I had everything happening and then didn't have the winner.
Oh, it's a lot of fun until
you've
got
no
money left.
No, it was a good day.
Nah, a bit of fun, but good race and very tight and lots of people out and about, so it was a good day.
Yeah. All right, what's coming up today, Roo?
We are going to talk about the big hailstorm that went up through the Riverland. It was on Monday night, actually, Dits. Lots of people already on the ropes up there in the Riverland at the moment with the drought and high water prices, and now they've had a hailstorm that's gone through there as well. So not good news for the fruit growers and grape growers and everything up in the Riverland. We've got the Metros coming on later. Peter Ford's going to join us and talk about the Melbourne Cup wrap-up. There's a bit of negative news on Channel 10, isn't there?
Yeah, didn't do too well, apparently. Yeah, but we'll find out all about that this morning here on Triple M with Roo and Dits.
Triple M. Roo and Dits, top three things you need to know.
Interesting story, Roo. For me, I watch Netflix probably most nights of the week. 6 out of 7 nights we'd check out to
Six
see what.
6 out of 7 nights
or
you're
maybe,
on Netflix.
Maybe 5 nights of the week. But yeah, my wife and I are really into Netflix and checking out the latest and greatest.
Right.
For the first time ever, it's actually affecting the cinemas. There's a story that Martin Scorsese, one of the world's great directors,
has
made a film called The Irishman, and apparently it's very, very good, and it stars Al Pacino and Robert De Niro, so two big, big actors.
Yep.
And what's happened is Australian cinemas are refusing to play his film.
Why?
And this is a first because he's had it funded by Netflix, and the deal he did with Netflix is to say that, all right, we will release it on Netflix 4 weeks after it hits the cinemas. So Australian cinemas have said, well, that's not going to happen. So they've boycotted it and they're not playing it.
Right.
And apparently it's a very good film. So, yeah, this is a real first,
well,
I reckon.
Would they make the most of it for 4 weeks before it's on Netflix?
Don't know. So, yep, the cinemas have all basically banded together and said, well, we'll boycott it. If you're going to put it on Netflix, you ain't playing it in our cinemas. There you go.
Well,
the changing world of Hollywood.
It's interesting. You'd think cinemas would be struggling at the moment, but they seem to be doing okay and renovating and doing new cinemas out and about. But you'd think that'd be one of the things that would be hurting at the moment with everything that you can get on your own box at home.
Yep.
But it doesn't seem to be the case. Amongst other things that are getting more expensive in the world, they're saying honey is going to get more expensive with the drought and everything as well, Dits.
So why now, I'm a bit done with this, why does the drought affect bees and honey?
Well, I don't know.
Bees need water as well, I suppose, do they?
Yeah, I suppose they do. Yeah,
well, maybe things don't grow if there's no water, and they thrive on flowers, don't they?
Yeah.
Would that be the...
Probably. Need rain for everything, but honey prices set to rise. This is a real shortage in Australia.
Okay, so stock up on honey, all right?
fill the pantry.
Now, you're always keen for a bargain.
What's happened?
I've read this morning, you need to delve deeper into your Italian heritage and see if you've got any relatives back over in Italy, because there's a town, and I think it's called Camerata. I think that's the way you pronounce it.
You know?
Not sure. But it's a little village in Italy. They are offering free houses. Right?
There are houses
for free. So what's happened in this village in Italy
sounds dodgy.
Houses have been abandoned, right? There are all of these homes sitting there empty, and it looks like, I've seen the pictures this morning, beautiful looking village high up on a mountain. And the deal is, this is quite serious. You can sign
something
up.
Something about this, Dits.
Roo, you and
you
I
don't get anything for nothing.
You
usually.
And I should buy one or two of these houses. Well, not buy, because they're free.
They're free. There must be a catch.
All right, the catch is, you must pay a deposit of 5,000 euros, but you get the money back because it's a free house. They're offering you a free house.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is, within the first 3 years, you must renovate it. So they've been left. Well, that's not a bad deal. Still a free house.
Yeah.
And all you do is you sign a document to say, all right, within 3 years, we will renovate it, and you'll then get your 5,000 euros back.
Why is it free, Dits?
Because the houses have been left abandoned, and what they're saying is this will attract people to come and live in the town, so the economy will thrive, and I think it's a smart move. I think it's a good idea. So we might...
Obviously, no one else does, because the house is not worth
anything. Well, as I said to you, contact the Ricciutos back there in the old village.
All right, we'll check it out and find out if it's worth living in this little house for nothing.
Well,
in Italy.
I'm telling you, look into it, please.
I'll ring them after.
Yeah, when did you last go to Italy? You went over there,
2008 or 9.
Have you got any relatives over there?
Yeah.
Whereabouts?
I've got a house over there.
You've got a house?
Yeah.
You never told me that.
Well,
so I can go on a house. I can go and stay in your joint.
You can go and stay in the house that my nonno grew up in.
Where is it?
Just out of Benevento.
Where's that?
Just out of Naples.
Right. You never told me this.
Why would you want to know?
Because we can have a free holiday. I mean, I have to pay.
I didn't say you could go there for
Why
free.
Why not?
Because it's for the Italian people, not for you.
Oh, thanks very much. Right. I thought we were a team. Five and a half years together, celebrating our birthday. Apparently not.
No.
Ruined it's on Triple M.
Sorry.
What a goal!
Ruined it's overnight sports.
Thanks to McGain Real Estate.
There were only two Australian bred horses in the Melbourne Cup yesterday, and one of them, Vow and Declare, got up and won.
It's Master of Reality. Vow and Declare up on the inside. Vow and Declare, Prince of Aradus lifting late with El Paradiso. Master of Reality just in front. Vow and Declare kicks. Vow and Declare's won it for Australia. They're on top of the world. Beats Prince of Arad, El Paradiso, in a photo finish, and Master of Reality, a classic cup.
And after 15 attempts, jockey Craig Williams finally has won the Melbourne Cup.
No, I was just lucky enough to sit on Found Declare. Credit to Danny O'Brien, Matt Arrington, Ben. I don't want to name everyone in the stable, but without all their hard work, we don't have this horse. Danny O'Brien's got a fantastic story with him, and it was a privilege to ride him today.
Oh, he's a good horse.
He's a good horse.
And I just want to thank the connections.
No, well done to everyone involved yesterday. But, Roo, our old mate, Max,
Max
Hitchens,
second and third,
and I was on Master of Reality. I was a winner right up until about the last 5 metres.
Plenty of hard luck stories. El Paradiso probably should have won, but got squashed.
Yes.
But that is racing, is the Melbourne Cup.
It is indeed. The Aussies have claimed a 7-wicket win over Pakistan in Canberra. That was in the T20 match, and Steve Smith made 80 off 51 balls. He was named Man of the Match, and the series now heads to Perth on Friday. Rafa Nadal has reclaimed the world number one ranking in men's tennis. Novak Djokovic will be looking to make it back-to-back when the ATP finals begin on Sunday. And what about Kim Clijsters, who announced that she was making a comeback to tennis? She was going to play in the Australian Open. However, she's been forced out with a knee injury, so bad luck for her. That is our look at sport. All thanks to McGain Real Estate, our wonderful friends. Check them out. Go and ring Mike and Zoe and all of the team there if you want to buy or sell your house. You couldn't be in better hands than with McGain Real Estate. Roo and Ditz here on Triple M, thanks to Bob Jane Team Arts.
Some tradies up at the Gold Coast have cleaned up, Ditz. They're working on a property at a place called Runaway Bay.
Right.
On Thursday last week, when they discovered some plastic containers wrapped up in duct tape.
Right.
Buried in the dirt. So they started finding them and kept digging and digging and then opened them up and found $200,000 in cash.
What?
The old paper money, which was phased out, I think, in about the mid-90s. I reckon the old grey nurse,
yeah.
Which we all loved, the grey nurse.
$100 bills, yeah.
Yeah, so they were phased out. There was $200,000 worth of grey nurses in these plastic cylinders wrapped up in duct tape, but done professionally so they, you know, would be preserved, wouldn't go mouldy or wouldn't go off and wouldn't get any moisture in them. But they can't work out who obviously actually owns the cash.
Right.
Because the lot has actually been vacant since the 1980s. They're saying that there was a fair few bank robberies in the area at that time. There weren't,
right.
Seriously, the postcard bandit, you remember Brendan Abbott?
Yeah.
He knocked off a few banks around that area at the time, and they didn't get a lot of that cash back.
So Brendan's listening this morning, going, it's mine, you bloke.
Yes,
he's inside somewhere.
He's in the slammer at the moment, so it may well be him. But the last actually registered owner of the site.
Yeah.
Was a man who lived there for 15 years before his death in 2017.
Right.
But that fella, unfortunately, suffered from dementia.
So he's forgotten where he's buried it.
He's forgotten where he's even buried it.
Right.
He's forgotten he's got a couple of $100,000 in cash. That is an unfortunate event for his family, isn't it?
It is indeed, yeah.
Grandpa, where's that $200,000 I gave you? I've got no idea where I buried it.
Mm.
Tradies, well, they'd come across some different things, wouldn't they?
You'd reckon.
Work sites.
Oh, they'd have to, for sure.
I don't know if they'd come across that much cash very often, but they'd come across some different things, wouldn't they?
I reckon.
They sure would.
All the tradies that listen at this time of the morning, what have you found? 133353. I don't know if you can top that, 200 grand, but you must have found some amazing things over the journey.
We've got a family pass to go and see Adelaide United take on Brisbane Roar this Sunday night at Cooper Stadium, Dits. We'll give that to the best caller, tradies out there or anyone. What have you found anywhere? Give us a call on 1-3-3-5-3.
Hey, Roo, we're just talking about this deal, story with the tradies who have found the 200 grand in the backyard.
That's right.
And you're talking about the old grey nurses.
Yeah.
I've actually got personal experience with this. So my father, up until he passed away, he had, he'd hoarded a whole heap of cash. And for the tax man listening this morning, I think not from ill-gotten gains, and I'm sure he paid his tax on it. But anyway, happened to have a heap of cash. Happened to have a lot of cash, probably, I don't know, back to winter somewhere. But for years, he would go around and do his shopping at the local, you know, Foodland or whatever, and go to the local pub. And you're being served by young kids, you know, a lot of the times, and he'd hand over a grey nurse, and they'd just look at it and go,
"What?
What's that?" And he'd go, "Well, it's $100. And they go, "No, it's not." He'd go, "Yes, it's a $100 bill." And he would, you'd hold up the whole supermarket because he would have to say, "Well, go and get the manager." And then some old
bloke. So what, they're out, you couldn't use
them? They had no idea. No, they're legal, but kids had never seen them before.
Right.
And of course, he's saying, "Well, it's $100. And they're going, "No, it's not." He's saying, "Well, it bloody is." And surprising, he was a little bit argumentative.
Yeah.
And so the manager would have to come out. And then, of course, there's a queue forming behind him. Everyone's getting angry. And this would happen all the time because young kids.
Come on, Mr.
Had
Dittmer.
Never ever seen this money. So there you go, Roo.
Yeah, good work. Well, there's 200 grand's worth being discovered in the Gold Coast. And we're taking calls right now. What have you found on the work site? Let's head to Happy Valley. G'day, Mark.
How you go, Roo Ditts?
Yeah, good. Thanks, mate. What did you find?
We're a good ex-furniture removalist, and we knocked over some cake tins as we were coming out the back veranda, and there was 200 grand in one cake tin, there was 25 grand worth of jewellery in the other.
Baldass, are you serious?
200 grand, it must have been a big tin.
It was a massive cake tin, mate, the old type. They were about a foot deep, they are.
Now, Mark, what happens in that situation? Are you meant to report it, or what do you do?
When it's all over the ground, flying everywhere, and the lady's out the back door, the daughter, you have to report it.
Fair enough. Okay.
So where were you taking it from?
One of the properties on Unley Road.
Can you give us the exact address? We might just go around and dig up.
From a house or from a business?
No, house, business, got renovated.
Wow.
Right.
All right. Good on you, mate.
Were they surprised? Did they know it was there? Or
no, they didn't. They were pretty astounded.
You're kidding.
What?
Gee. All right.
Wow.
Good stuff.
Yeah, halves or
removalists would find the odd thing around the joint, wouldn't they?
1-3-3-5-3.
Yeah,
give
us
a buzz. Exactly like that. We've got a family pass to go and see Adelaide United this weekend at Cooper Stadium.
Ruined it's here on Triple M. What have you tradies or removalists or anybody out there found on work sites? Because, some tradies up on the Gold Coast found 200 grand buried in the backyard.
Yeah, the old grey nurses.
Nice surprise.
Yeah, beautiful. Let's go to Gawler East. G'day, Peter.
Yeah, g'day, boys.
What have you found, Pete?
I was actually working in Flinders Street, Melbourne, on a site, and inside a cavity wall, there was a whole heap of passbooks.
What do you mean, passbooks?
Like in the old days when you used to go to the bank, you had a little book and they used to stamp it.
Yeah.
Right? And there was four of them in there. They were blue, and they had a couple of £1,000, £3,200. I mean, in them days, pounds were a lot of money.
Yeah.
So I think that Some like homeless people are obviously pinched it out of someone's wallet or out their pocket or something, and they've just put it on top of the ledge because there's a lot of homeless people living in there those days.
Right.
And I reckon they've just fallen inside the cavity wall.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
We actually took them back to the Commonwealth Bank and they just took hold of them. But I don't know that. Obviously, I reckon the people would have been long passed away.
So, yeah, you didn't check out the dates and stuff in there.
No, mate. But on that actual site, though, I was working on the roof and I had to repair these two round heads, right? Because I'm actually solid plasterer, and I've repaired one and I put jars number two, and it's still looking over the MCG right now.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
I've tried to ring up about this a lot of times, but I've never got around.
Well, there you go. Bit of history, there.
And it's actually now called the Eurasia Hotel.
Oh, good on you,
Euro
Peter.
Euro-Asia.
All right, I'll have a look at it next time I'm there.
All right.
We'll check out your good work.
Good on you, Pete. Let's go to Huntfield Heights. G'day, Dan.
G'day, gentlemen. How are we?
What did you find, Dan?
We're doing some excavation work off North East Road.
Where? North East Road?
Out that way. and we're doing some water works and that, some pipes in the ground, and managed to dig up some human bones.
What? Human bones?
Yeah, no, it was...
So what do you do with that? You got to get the police in, or what do you do?
Yeah, exactly that. So you're going to contact the police because, you know, they're bones, not a body.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't really know
who it is. Now, that would have... did that put a halt to work on the site, or was it an issue? Yeah, really?
Shut us down for 6 months.
Yeah. Wow. Did they ever get back to you and tell you what it...
Yeah, it turned out it was an Aboriginal burial site.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Okay.
So, yeah, that was, it was a bit of a turn up for the box. We had the police had to come out and, take control of the site and do what they did. And so that was that. Preserving the heritage of the area and so on.
Good story. So, yeah, good story, Dan. Because, there was the other, we've just had another caller off air ring up and say that they found bones in the backyard as well, Roo.
Here we go.
No, they did, seriously. What and they happened? And there was and they looked down at the skeleton and there was a medal hanging around the neck of the skeleton. They did, and they picked them out and said, Irish hide and seek champion, it said. These bones they found out.
He won, didn't he?
He did.
He won. Dan, you can go and see the Adelaide United, take the family along. Adelaide United v Brisbane Roar this Sunday at Cooper Stadium. Tickets at Ticketek.
Ruined it on Triple M on this Wednesday morning.
Dits, they're trialling a new work week in Japan at the moment.
Yeah.
Microsoft, who we all know, have trialled a 4-day working week for a month.
Yeah.
And they've take Fridays out, so everyone's had Friday, Saturdays and Sunday off.
Right. Long weekend every week.
3-day weekend every weekend for a month. And surprisingly, the tech giant recorded an increase in productivity by 40%.
40%?
Which is, just staggering amount.
But tell me this, Roo, you don't work less time, do you? You work more hours on those 4 days. Would that be correct?
Yeah, well, you'd presume so, wouldn't you? If it's a 40-hour week, you'd probably do 4 10-hour days instead of 5 8-hour days, presume. They have 2,300 employees. They did it with them over a month, and they said they got a massive increase in productivity. Now, they measured that by sales per employee, it was a measurable stat. It wasn't just, how do you feel about doing 4 days a week? And
the other thing that happened too was that costs went down.
Yeah.
How's this? 23.1%. Reduction in electricity usage. Now, you know this in your pub, what your power bills have gone up by, over the last couple of years.
Everyone
enormously.
Knows that,
so imagine saving 23%. If any large company listening today, pardon me, imagine 23% less power bill.
Yep, that'd be a good start, but the 40% increase in productivity would be absolutely ginormous.
All right, here's Andrew Barnes, who's the innovator of the 4-day work week.
We made it permanent last year, and essentially what we do is we pay our people 100% of their salary, provided they give us 100% productivity, but they only have to work 80% of the hours. So they enjoy it, and we're finding great productivity out of it.
So by the sounds of that, there is a reduction in hours.
Well, in his case, I don't know if it's in everyone's case, but could this work? I don't know.
I think there are workplaces in Adelaide right now, Roo, where they're saying if you work, like you said before, a 10-hour day, you can actually have the Friday off. I think it's happening in Adelaide.
Really?
Yeah, not across the board, obviously, but I reckon there are some places that do it.
Some mining places definitely do it, but I'm not sure if it had happened in too many businesses across Adelaide. I'd like to hear from people out there who do it. Mm. If they've got a 4-day week, I'd like to hear from people who would like to try it. Or are you sceptical about it? I'm a bit sceptical about it.
Why?
I don't know.
Oh, okay, good answer. Now,
I'm probably a little bit not trustworthy of people working hard enough. Maybe you need to be, though.
The other thing I reckon if I was to have the day off every week, I'd want Monday off, not Friday. I reckon Monday would be better. After the weekend.
Yeah, well, Friday you look forward to it anyway.
I know. So you're probably slacking off a bit. But I reckon Monday, imagine having every Monday off in your life. Long weekend. Wouldn't that be good?
Hey? Might be really bad too if you just play up on the
could
weekends.
Could be, yeah. All right, is it happening out there? What do you think? 133353, a 4-day working week. Can it actually be beneficial? Would it work?
Yeah, does anyone do it in Adelaide already?
Is it happening? Yeah, give us a ring. 133353, ruined it's on Triple M. Ruined It's here on Triple M.
Yeah, we're taking calls about four-day work weeks. Can they work? They worked in Japan for Microsoft. They saw their productivity rise by 40% and electricity costs went down by 23%.
Yeah, it's huge.
Let's go to Warradale. G'day, Katie.
Hi, how are you guys?
Do you think a four-day work week can work?
Absolutely. I would be interested in how the people at the Microsoft company in Japan feel about their work-life balance. I think that part-time work is the way forward for our future. I think people are living more minimalist lives and accepting and living with less. And by working part-time, then there's much more job opportunities that open up for people as well.
Very good point. Katie, what do you do?
I was a school teacher and yep. I made the move to go part-time a few years back and yep. have loved it. Haven't looked back. It's been wonderful for my balance and I've been able to pursue other interests in my free time and spend time with family and friends and work on my well-being.
Oh, good on you.
Yeah, it makes me a happier employee.
What about your financial situation? Is it still okay to work part-time and work a four-day week or...?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, you have to make some changes. But I think sometimes the things that you're spending the money on, that you're earning full time, are filling a gap that perhaps gets filled when you have more time in other ways, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yep. Definitely. All right. Thanks, Katie. Good positive call. Rue, this came up for me on the weekend because I visited Sydney with Kate and... people we spoke to, you know, everyone that thinks, I want to get out of Adelaide and shift to Sydney or Melbourne, and I know you've heard this before, but it was just really eye-opening to talk to people that, oh, I travel an hour and a half to get to work every day, or I travel an hour each way.
It'd just make you sick, wouldn't it?
So in the end...
it'd ruin your life.
Well, in the end, it defeats the whole purpose, doesn't it? Like Katie just said, you've got no time to spend on yourself and your family and your friends.
Yep.
And so for the financial gain, you're actually sacrificing everything else, aren't you?
Yeah, work-life balance, absolutely critical to get that right. 133353, have your say on a four-day work week as trialled in Japan.
Ruin, just here on Triple M, talking about the four-day working week. Would it be viable here in Adelaide for all of us?
Yeah, let's go to Lockleys. G'day, David.
How you going, guys?
What do you think about it?
I do it.
You do it?
Yeah, I'm basically living Ditz's dream, but I don't work Mondays. So.
Oh, really?
Beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah, well, my wife works 2 days a week, Mondays and Tuesdays.
Yeah.
And I take Monday off and spend it with my boy.
Yep.
And Tuesday he goes to my parents' house. So, yeah, no, I take it off every week.
What job do you do?
I'm a tiler.
So you just work flat out for 4 days, eh?
Pretty much. I mean, Saturdays and Sundays, if I have to, I don't like doing it, but if I have to, then I'll just work maybe half hour or just to grout up a little laundry floor or something like that.
Do you work harder on those 4 days? Like, do you work longer or...?
Nah, I do what I can. I do what I can in the day and then that's it, yeah.
Good on you.
Good stuff.
Well, that sounds like it absolutely works. Let's go to Seton. G'day, Dominic.
How you going?
Good, Dom.
Yeah, I do a four-day week every week.
Do you?
What work week. Are you in?
I own a restaurant.
Right, okay. So what day do you not work?
I don't work Mondays, Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, you don't or you do?
Don't.
No, I don't.
Okay,
no.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you're not open?
No, we're not open.
Okay.
So how does that work for you, Dominic? Pretty well?
Oh, it works pretty well. Yeah. I mean, you'd rather get Saturday and Sunday off, but that's not going to happen, is it?
No, I suppose not.
Now, which restaurant is it?
Geppetto's up at Harndorf.
Ah, Dominic, how are you?
Good, mate, yourself.
Good. Now, I'm not just saying this because he's on. This is the best Italian restaurant. Anyone out there,
go for a Sunday call.
Mate, I am telling you, go for
that
a Sunday
is
drive
a very big call.
To Geppetto's in Harndorf.
I charge him every time he comes, don't worry.
The best Good on you, Italian Dominic. Restaurant,
Dick. Oh, mate, the food is out of this world. Good on you, Dominic. Well done.
Thanks.
We'll have to come and try that out. That's a massive statement.
It's superb. Super.
I'm going to check that out. We've got an anonymous caller next. Hello, good morning.
Good morning. How are you going?
Good, thank you.
That's good. I do a relief contract drive for Australia Post.
Okay.
And we employ a relief driver. So each week I do a Thursday and Friday,
yeah.
And the contract holder, he gets a four-day weekend.
Right.
So if we didn't have released drivers and we worked the 5 days a week,
mm.
you'd never get a day off. So if you go to a four-day week,
mm.
who's going to deliver the mail on the fifth day? So you have to have someone. So all over the place, there are people getting long weekends because it gives somebody else another job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, it's employing more people, isn't it?
Yep. That's interesting. 100% of people in support of it, Dits.
Hang on, we've got one more to go as well. Mark at Hackham. G'day, Mark.
Morning, boys. Hey, my Mrs. Jane works 4 days. She's been working for 12, 18 months now.
Yep.
And the issue is with that, she works from home, right? So it's great. She loves her four-day week. But I'm forever telling her on Friday or, you know, after work hours, get off the phone, right? Or, you know, you don't have to do that now. You're only working a four-day week. You're not getting paid for it. But, you know, she's a good worker. She's got a great work ethic. So just say, oh, look, I've just got to do this or I've just got to do that. And I'll go, hang on, it's Friday. It's your day off. You don't have to work today, you know? So there is a bit of a double-edged sword to it.
So she's sort of always on, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it finds it hard to walk away, yeah.
Yeah, turn that phone off.
Yeah.
Oh, we'd all like to do that.
Yeah. All right, good on you, Mark. So a lot of, hey, Roo, in fact, I can tell you, Alice has just said 100% of callers that rang in off air said, let's work 4 days a week.
Yeah, that's because they're not working today. They've all rang in. Everyone else is working.
Ruined it's on Triple M.
He's Australia's clean living expert who shares delicious recipes and tips on staying active and motivated to live your best life. And with his latest book, he wants you to eat more vegan, which, well, may take some convincing with Dits.
So this is for the vegetarians and the vegans out there. Why don't you just eat bacon? That tastes like bacon too.
Oh, Dits.
Why not?
You hate vegans.
You
offended a couple here not long ago when you said they're all tossers. And
did I say that out loud? I thought I was just thinking it.
So we thought we'd get him on the show to try and encourage the boys to give it a go. Please welcome to Ruin Dits, Luke Hines.
Oh, come on, I've mellowed.
You did not say
I've mellowed.
That. He's
mellowed
changed, Luke.
On.
He's not G'day, that bad.
Guys. Good morning, Luke.
What an intro. That's probably the best yet. I'm going to ask for a recording of that because I want that to appear before any event that I do in future.
No, look, I was just making a point, and I'm going to ask you about a couple of things that you eat or don't eat, but this article we read at the time was saying, well, it tastes just like bacon. And I thought, well, bloody just eat bacon then.
Look, it's a really, really good point that you make. I've always believed that the vegans, because I'm not a vegan, I've got to clarify that I've just released a book called Eat More Vegan. But as a non-vegan, what really, really irks me is when they eat something that looks and tastes like a product that they're trying to avoid.
Yeah.
So what I've tried to do with this book is show you that vegans should be able to eat 100% fruits, plants, vegetables, and not have to worry about any of that imitation crap.
Yeah, because we went to a vegan restaurant in Adelaide, and they had a sort of a chicken burger. And,
yeah,
but it wasn't chicken.
Yeah.
Well, look, it's interesting. From a nutritional perspective, vegans can thrive if they eat real food. But what I see with these fake chickens, the fake beef, all of that, is they're full of inflammation and processed and refined foods. So it irks me because I just want people to eat real food, regardless of what you align yourself with.
Right. So you're not vegan, but you're teaching them how to eat more vegan.
Mate, take it from me. I want basically people to celebrate plants in their natural state.
Mm-hmm.
So putting 100 recipes together for me helps anyone because at the end of the day, this book is good for vegans, but it's also good for what I call a reducitarian. Now, a reducitarian is someone who simply should or could reduce their meat intake. So this book is really fantastic for them. And the book's also really good for people who just don't know how to cook vegetables and make them taste good.
Well, just on that, now I'm looking through some of your ingredients and it looks like hard work to be a vegan. You got to find things. I mean, hemp seeds, for example, where the hell would I find hemp seeds in the aisles of the supermarket? And what are flax eggs?
Nice. All right. First off, hemp seeds. Have you ever been to one of the major supermarkets? Yes, you have.
I have.
Do your groceries there, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever, though, dared to walk down the health aisle? Have you ever raised aisle two?
Aisle two, right. Hemp seeds.
Right. But they sound like drugs to me.
Mate, they're in the same family. So if you want to feel a little bit relaxed, get some hemp seeds into your life, and you won't be caught up at customs.
Right. All right. And what are flax eggs?
So a flax egg is for those who can't consume or don't want to eat eggs. All you need to do is combine ground flax meal and water to create an egg, and it actually works exactly the same. It gets gluggy and sticky, and it helps things stick together and bind.
Now, again, I'm just flicking through, and I've come across KFJ, Kentucky Fried Jackfruit. What's
the jackfruit's in, isn't
now,
it?
You guys know Luke Darcy, yeah?
Yes. Yep.
Now, I work with Luke Darcy on Channel 7, and we host a show together, and he came along to one of my shoots, and he tried the KFJ. Mm. He said, mate, this tastes just like chicken.
Now, when you're in Adelaide, Roo and I are going to take you on a whistle stop tour. We'll go to Gaucho's first room. We'll have a Wagyu beef. We'll have a porterhouse, and then we'll go around to the Elephant and Castle for tea, and we'll have a T-bone around there. Because we need to show Luke some good cuisine here in Adelaide, all right?
Yeah. Mate, boys, I'm going to put you to the test. I'm going to be at Plant 4 in Adelaide on Sunday the 17th of this month.
Yeah.
I'm going to get you guys along, right, and you can taste this food firsthand.
All right. Luke, thanks for talking to us, mate. And the book is called Eat More Vegan. I've got to say, it's very flash, beautiful pictures in it, and it does look like very, very tasty food, mate. Well done.
And that's just a tip for me. Thanks, guys. All right. Have a good day.
Luke,
good on you, Luke.
See you, guys.
Thanks,
well
Luke.
Done, buddy.
On you, mate.
Cheers, mate. Good stuff.
Ruined it here on Triple M. Alice the Wag has come bounding into the studio. What's going on, Alice?
Turn yourself on, please. Oh, turn myself on.
Come on.
I just have a new story that I'm going to talk to you about after the song, and the internet's gone into a meltdown about it.
Right.
And sometimes I just like to keep you up with the hip and the happening.
Right. So yeah, good idea.
I've got that to tell
you. And what's it about?
It's about the alphabet.
Oh, sounds intriguing.
The alphabet.
Yeah, no, wow, hell.
So don't go anywhere,
everyone,
guys.
Don't go anywhere.
We are learning about the alphabet.
This is unbelievable.
Looking forward to this, Alice.
Yeah, all right. It's on Triple M. Ruined It's here on Triple M. Right-o. Alice is here with us. Right, what have
Tell
you got for us?
Tell us about the alphabet. Mm.
Okay, so all the American talk shows are talking about it, and then it became this viral thing, and everyone's getting really fired up about it because they have rewritten how kids are now singing the alphabet because how we all learnt to say it,
right,
they're saying is too hard.
Too hard?
So you know how it goes, A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
No, we're on it. Yeah, yeah. I know, we understand the alphabet.
But then you get H-I-J-K,
right,
and then you get to the point, and then it goes L-M-N-O-P.
Right.
They're saying that part where it's L-M-N-O-P becomes like all into one, and it's not every segregated
L-M-N-O-P.
Letter.
Mm.
L-M-N-O-P.
Right.
So kids are getting really confused.
You're going too quick. I'm just writing this down.
L-M-N-O-P.
Right. Okay.
So, like, I don't know who it is, the Society of the Alphabet or Sesame Street or something,
right,
have come up with a new way for kids to sing the alphabet so they're not getting as confused.
Oh, okay. Ooh.
So let's have a listen.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
You are putting me to sleep here.
Wait.
H-I-J-K-L-M-N-O-P-Q-R.
That's a huge change. Wait on.
Oh.
You've gone too quick for me. I can't cope with this change.
Well, everyone's gone into meltdown about it.
You're joking.
Because you have to sing the L-M-N-O-P together.
Right.
Okay. So all those people that learnt the alphabet for the last 50 or 100 years, did they struggle today?
I'd say thousands of years, actually. Yeah, we all managed. And what is this about, Alice?
Well, I don't know. The world's gone insane.
Has it? All right.
But their parents have like probably written to the alphabet committee and said.
Alphabet committee.
It's getting confusing for our kids.
For people out there listening, what happens, you know, when you have a radio show, you meet in the mornings and you say, right, what topics have we got for today? And Alice says, I've got something I have to talk about. And this was it.
No, so actually, I had ruined it both after big days yesterday. And so I thought I'll bring something because you won't.
God. Anyway.
All right, we should be covered from now on with the alphabet then.
Are the next radio awards coming up? When can we put this segment in? Ruined, it's on Triple M. Groundbreaking news with Alice the Wag. The alphabet is changing the way we're teaching our kids the alphabet, Roo.
Yeah, we've got a caller on the line. G'day, Helen.
G'day, how are you, boys?
Good, thank you. What would you like to say?
Well, we just heard, I'm on my way to take my grandsons to school, and we just heard her, and they just said, that's just too boring.
Too boring.
Now, who's that there? What are your names?
Blake. I'm Blake.
How old are you, Blake?
I'm 8.
Righto.
Can you know the alphabet?
See, now how you do it.
No.
You don't know it.
It's too dumb. I can't even sing it.
All right.
It's too dumb.
Righto. Thanks for the feedback. Good on you, Helen. Good on you, Blake.
Standard 8-year-old boy. There's a bit of
instant feedback.
Too boring. Yeah. Not doing it.
Do you already know we had 8-year-olds listening? We were to clean this show up a bit. All right. Ruined. It's on Triple M. Oh, hello. Good morning. The day after the Cup, Roo. How did you go? Did you back the winner or
no,
not?
No, I didn't, Dit. So I didn't back the winner. You know, when you look back at it, you probably could have had it.
Well, I was winning all until about the last 5 metres. I got done.
Who were you on?
Well, remember old Max, how to pick the winner, Max, in the Melbourne Cup. He said back Master of Reality. It was $26 and I was on it and it ran second and then it got relegated after the protest. And
tough day.
Mayhem everywhere.
Tough day. Peter Ford's going to join us this Dits. He's got massive news on Jeffrey Epstein, the billionaire pedophile. Big, big news on him. The Metros are going to join us this hour as well. But right now it's time to give away some VIP tickets to our birthday.
Triple M. Roll up your chinos, put wax in your hair, smash some avocado and grab a protein shake. It's time for the Metros on Ruined Dits for Breakfast.
Ah, Flack, Nails and Fabio. Good morning, boys.
Morning, boys.
Now, Flack, you got a bit of a story from the weekend. Did you have a little sleepover?
And there's the bus.
What? What happened? That's what it's all about.
No, I had a friend come down and she needed
What's his name?
It's a girl and right. She
a girl.
Yeah, yeah. And she stayed and we hung out on Saturday and showed her a little bit of Adelaide. Right. Took what up the hills.
What does hung out mean?
I showed her Harndorf, drove past your place.
Nice, thanks for calling in.
Yeah.
Now the reason we're talking about this is, Roo, a bit of discussion in the office place on the back of this that, and we talk about this all the time, but blokes and girls being friends. Friends in inverted commas. So you've got a girlfriend at the moment.
Just friends, you mean?
Yeah. So you've got a girlfriend at the moment, Flack. So how does she see it that a girl comes and stays for the weekend?
No, that's
you've
totally fine.
You've got a girlfriend and you had a girl come and stay with you.
Yeah, but she met my girlfriend as well and it's totally fine. You obviously get the question if you slept with her and I haven't and then it's fine.
Yeah.
You can absolutely be friends with women and have nothing go on. I'm friends with Alice the Wag. And nothing's ever going to happen there.
Nails,
from my point of view.
Nails, friends with girls.
Yeah, I don't see a drama with it. I think, it's becoming more and more of a thing. I think
your nose is growing now.
Yeah.
Now, Nails, you've a brand new baby.
Yep.
All right, so you go home today and your beautiful partner says, well, I'll stay home today because I'll look after the baby. And you say, well, I'm just going to the pictures tonight with Emily from down the road.
Yeah, so that's a different circumstance.
Oh, is it? Oh, that's different.
If you're sitting at the back row of the Hoyt Cinema with a girl.
No, we're just friends. We're just hanging out.
Yeah.
Also, who says they're going to the pictures?
What do you mean? What are you going to?
People who listen to Lipstick on your collar.
What do you call it?
You go to the cinema. You don't go to the pictures.
Go to the flicks. Oh, I haven't been in a while. All right.
But yeah, no, I don't see a drama with it. I think, you know, certainly in this workplace, you know, we're good friends with, you know.
All right, can you do it for us today, just as an experiment, or this week? I want you to go home to Tori and say, I'm going to the flicks with, you know, the girl up the road, but we're just friends. I just want to get the reaction, just see how it goes.
Experiment, all right.
And
we'll
come
see,
back
to us.
Yeah, all right.
Report back.
Fabio?
Yeah, most definitely. I think. Yeah, you can be friends with girls.
No, you can't. Fabio, we know you. We know your track record.
What's that mean?
So, totally above board, trustworthy. No worries.
There's obviously the limits. I think if you've got a missus and there's been maybe history with this girl, don't risk it. You know, your missus obviously, your missus for a reason. But, I think you can be friends with girls.
Ruth? Flack, no, I'm a no. I don't think you can. No. But so your partner was totally comfortable?
Yeah, absolutely.
How long have you been with her for?
That's a good question. I don't know, a little while.
You're this terrible.
Counts.
This is not going to last.
Seriously. Wish I hadn't asked that now. She really likes your show. She listens.
What's her name?
Karen.
All right, good morning, Karen.
G'day, Karen.
Now, Karen, I want you to come home to Flack and say you're going out with Bill, or whatever his name is, the old mate up the road.
Going to pitches.
Flack, that's different.
Isn't it's a no from me.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Thanks, boys.
Thanks, boys.
Triple M. On Ruined Dits for Breakfast.
It's time to talk entertainment.
That's entertainment.
With Peter Ford.
Now, Roo, yesterday I was in a pub. I was at the Oakbank Hotel, so yep. I couldn't actually hear the coverage. I could see the pictures, obviously, of the Melbourne Cup. But yep. Channel 10 have been absolutely caned online really? About their coverage. Yeah, substandard, people are saying. Let's find out what went wrong. Peter Ford, good morning.
Well, I guess it's one of those tough ones, isn't it? Because, you know, they're new to the game. And even last Saturday for the Derby, they were getting caned as well. You know, the weird twist there with the Derby last Saturday was more people actually watched the Golden Eagle yep. on Channel 7 than watched the Derby. How amazing is that? And I spoke to no end of people. We took calls in Melbourne and in Perth from people ringing up saying, oh, I thought I was watching the Derby. Then I realised it was the Sydney races. Yeah. So people don't even know what they're watching. But yeah. You know, it's Channel 7 had a long time to get it right, you know, a race coverage, and Channel 10 is still new at it. And it's that balancing act between it being a race coverage or a celebrity fashion event.
And the other thing, you mentioned Bruce McAvaney the other day. I mean, I just wonder how much difference one man can make, but he is the best in the business. And a lot of things I've read online this morning are saying we miss Bruce.
Yeah, it's the power of Bruce, isn't it?
Yep, definitely. Wow.
What's happening with Jeffrey Epstein?
Oh, this is an amazing story. So, you know, Jeffrey Epstein, the multi-millionaire who was awaiting charges, and he was on pedophilia and running sex slaves and with teenage girls and everything. Well, basically, he supposedly committed suicide a couple of months back, but the conspiracy theories started straight away, saying he got bumped off because too many very important people wanted him dead because he knew too much. So what's happened now is a woman called Amy Robach. Now, she is the co-host of 2020 in America, which is like a 60 Minutes type show, and she fills in as the guest host on Good Morning America. So she's not a nut job. Now, she reckons that 3 years ago, she actually was working on a big expose about Jeffrey Epstein, and she was ready to go with it. And she even had an interview with Virginia Roberts, who's the woman who now lives up in Cairns, and the network wouldn't put it to air. She reckons because of the influence and fear tactics from the royal family and basically made the network panic. And the story also included details about the links between Epstein and also Bill Clinton. So here's a little bit of this leaked audio.
I've had the story for 3 years. I've had this interview with Virginia Roberts. We would not put it on the air. First of all, I was told, who's Jeffrey Epstein? No one knows who that is. This is a stupid story. Then the palace found out that we had her whole allegations about Prince Andrew and threatened us a million different ways. We were so afraid we wouldn't be able to interview Kate and Will that also quashed the story. And then Alan Dershowitz was also implicated in because of the planes. She told me everything. She had pictures. She had everything. She was in hiding for 12 years. We convinced her to come out. We convinced her to talk to us. It was unbelievable what we had. Clinton. We had everything.
So that's pretty amazing stuff. Now, bearing in mind, that was a private conversation. That was this woman talking on a set in a commercial break or something to another colleague.
Right.
And
wow.
It's been leaked out. Can you imagine the witch hunt that's going on? Yeah. That's what the first thing we're always taught, and it's the first thing we always ignore, right? So here's a little bit more of Amy Robach in this private conversation saying she believed that Epstein was killed.
So do I think he was killed? 100%. Yes, I do. He made his whole living blackmailing people. There were a lot of men in those planes, a lot of men who visited that island, a lot of powerful men who came into that apartment. And they made it seem as though he made that suicide attempt 2 weeks earlier, but his lawyers claim that he was roughed up by his cellmate around the neck. That was all, like, to plant the seed. And then, that's why I really believe it, like, really believe it.
Wow. Mm. So can you imagine the network is saying we didn't put it to air 3 years ago because legally it didn't stack up. But, you know, this is going to get the conspiracy theories well and truly going again.
All right. Great story. Juicy stuff. Thanks, Pete.
Bye.
There he is. Peter Ford, World of Entertainment. Roo and Ditz here on Triple M. Roo, on Monday night, what happened up in the Riverland?
A big hailstorm went through, started at Murray Bridge and headed through the Riverland and... Yeah, path of destruction. It does a lot of damage at this time of year. You got stone fruit, you got grapes, you got nuts, you got cereal crops. Farmers sort of just starting to harvest, and hail can go through and just wipe out or damage crops for the whole summer.
All right, Minister for Primary Industries and Fisheries, Tim Whetstone, joins us. Tim, good morning.
Yeah, morning, boys.
Good. What's the feedback? How bad was the damage?
Oh, look, you know, some really copped it, and some missed, some dodged a bullet. Look, sadly, as Roo said, there was a bit of it was a path that came away from Murray Bridge and went up through the Riverland and out to Murtho. That's sort of where all the horticulture finishes. Yeah, and it's done a world of pain to some people. And well, it's probably the worst thing, Mark. You would appreciate a lot of these growers up there. Actually, all they could do was stand and watch. And it was 5 minutes of hell for them. You know, just watching all their hard work being belted with the hail.
So it was that quick? You're saying 5 minutes? It just went through and did all that damage?
Yeah, well, 4 to 5 minutes. Wow. It got there and it gone. So, you know, it's quite visual, I guess. So you see some of the photos and the social media showing the hail on the ground, but you know, it varied from rice grain size up to 20 cent piece size. And you know, as we've said, you know, the vines, particularly the rows that go north south, they got the worst of the damage because the storm came inside on them. You know, citrus one side of the tree, stone fruit, a lot of the stone fruit that's ready for picking has just all been smashed. And the dryland guys too, they've got a lot of damage with their crops. If they haven't harvested them, they're all lying on the ground. So. Yeah, it's not good news, and we had one of these about in 2016 where we saw more destruction. So
this is on the back of them already paying record or near record prices for water as well. So there's going to be a few people on their knees up in the Riverland, Tim, aren't there?
Yeah, there are. And as I said, you know, those crops that are damaged, they needed every berry, every piece of fruit to make ends meet, particularly with the high water prices. You know, they're going to have to reassess just how they're going to come away from this. And I've got my department up there on the ground, out there helping assess the damage. But also, I guess we have to give a bit of a shout out to those growers that, you know, their health and well-being is their priority.
Yep.
You know, making sure that they, if they need some help, that it's there for them. And, you know, I would urge that any relatives or any friends up at the Riverland, give them a call and, you know, make sure they're all right. Because it's a tough day for these people going out there and reassessing the damage.
Good on you, Tim. Thanks for joining us this morning. Tim Whetstone, Minister for Primary Industries and Fisheries. And, yeah, good luck to everyone in the Riverland.
It's a tough game. Primary production, I can tell you.
Yeah, Ruined It's on Triple M.
Ruined It. The show that was.
The show that was.
You've already missed this on Triple M's Ruined It. But don't worry, you can catch up on the Triple M app when the show's finished.
We heard this morning, Roo, that some tradies found $200,000 in a backyard they were digging up. They were doing it was a building site. Money had been there for a long, long time. And we took some phone calls. Turns out an Adelaide removalist had a similar experience.
We're an ex-furniture removalist, and we knocked over some cake tins as we were coming out the back veranda, and there was $200,000 in one cake tin. There was $25,000 worth of jewellery in the other.
How good is that?
Nice surprise.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We had a chat to Luke Pines, who is bringing out a brand new vegan cookbook, Dits.
Boys, I'm going to put you to the test. I'm going to be at Plant 4 in Adelaide on Sunday the 17th of this month.
Yeah.
I'm going to get you guys along and you can taste this food firsthand.
All right. I normally do Bikram yoga on a Sunday.
Yeah, I'm a bit busy too on that day, unfortunately. But anyone else who wants to go down and see Luke, you're more than welcome.
Plant 4 at Bowden.
We know there are tons of vegans out there that are... happily eating and get some good tips off Luke on that day.
Have your avocado ice cream and whatever else they got.
Exactly right.
All right, Roo, that's it for us today.
All done. Catch you tomorrow, everyone. Have a great day.